Pickaxe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Triforce Podcast, the first one for Christmas. We're actually recording this day six of Jingle Jam.
Whoa.
Just after the Civ stream happened, and therefore a little bit hungover, but actually, I'm okay. I was well behaved.
Good.
Sips P-Flex, how you doing?
Looking good, feeling awesome.
Yeah, okay. Same. Looking amazing, feeling Minnesota, you know, the same.
So, have you got Christmas decorations up yet?
No. Yeah, I do. Unfortunately.
What have you got?
Tree.
Give me the rundown.
Some lights. We got like a garland, and I had to buy some of those zip ties to tie the garland because it's going outside.
You mean like a wreath, right? Like the
Nah,
the
it's like because we have like a balcony like off of our bedroom. It sounds better than it is. It's never used. It's covered in bird shit too, but it has a railing. And we're going to put like some, whatever, leaves or something on it with lights in it. I haven't put it up yet.
You're making it sound like? You're making it sound like some hillbilly Christmas tree like set
up.
Yeah,
we got a couple of deer carcasses and some human skulls as well. And a whole bunch of dream catchers that we're going to hang up all over the garden too.
Nice and
very multi-religious of you.
Yeah.
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 We're getting the tree this weekend. Just didn't get a chance last weekend.
Do you guys get a real tree?
Yeah.
Oh,
Where's it come from?
Squire's Garden Centre.
Oh.
Squire's Garden Centre. So where do they source their trees, huh?
I'm sure they get them from a special work camp set up for political detainees.
Yes.
And
that sounds about
right. The people
right,
are tortured and forced to tend to a crop of Christmas. I don't know, a fucking field.
A Christmas tree field.
I mean, if you've got to ethically source a tree nowadays, what are you telling me? Some trees are bad? Come on, man. It's a tree. They grow the trees in a field. They cut them down. You buy the tree.
And then it rots away in your living room for like a month.
I think it's about 10 years it takes to grow a tree.
Not a Christmas tree.
That's what it says here. Yeah.
How long would a Christmas tree take to grow? What? Like,
it takes one night. Santa flies over the top of it. Letting out special pine tree
sprinkles magic
dust
all over it.
Yeah, it grows. Yeah. Thanks, Santa. Enjoy your profits, young tree grower.
Man, these guys, like the amount of planning that, like, you know, they're not much to look at Christmas tree lots, are they? They're just like some wire fence around them and a wooden sign and like some dude wearing a lot of warm clothing. But like, that guy's a genius. He had to start planning like 20 years in advance to make sure that his stock levels were full for 20 years in the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a huge investment in time and stuff for you know, he had to sort of say, is Christmas still going to be big in 20 years' time after all these trees have grown and I'm ready to start selling them? What if there's a drought? You know, what if there's another great the fucking depression? Nobody celebrates Christmas anymore and I'm stuck with all these fucking trees.
That's true. The cheap plastic tree market, that must eat into his profits, right?
Yeah. I have a plastic tree, but it wasn't a cheap one. I can attest to that. It's a plastic tree that has tinsel on it already, like built in. Also, it has lights built into it as well with different settings.
Was it also made at Santa's workshop?
I'm sure it was.
Santa just flew over.
It's fairly magical.
Enjoy your profits, Chinese factory worker.
Yeah. Well, so this thing sits in the attic all year round. And this year I went up to get it and there's no light in the attic. So I had to fumble around. I got these like, you've seen these like LED light switches? You know, plug, they have batteries and there's just like a, it's just a switch. So I put a couple of those up in the attic because I very rarely go up there. And when I do need to go up there, obviously need light. So I put a couple of those up there.
Oh, it's like a Santa's grotto up there.
It is pretty much,
yeah. It's all Christmassy and twinkly with the Christmas tree on the floor from last year and the Christmas lights because I couldn't be bothered to hook anything else up.
That's it. So I'm up there rummaging around for all the decorations and stuff. And then I look.
There's a man up here in a suit. Hello, little boy.
Yeah.
What are you doing up here in Santa's grotto? And it's like a dirty mattress on the floor. Well,
chained to the wall.
Oh, my God.
So the corner of my eye, I just see this massive heap of junk, and you know, that's not overly surprising. There's a lot of junk up in the attic.
I'm already getting a fucking horror film vibe from this. Just putting
so I look over and my heart just sinks, because the fucking tree sprung out of the box. Like, I guess the tape just went a bit rotten. The tape that was holding the box closed.
It made a break for it.
It lost its stick. And then at some point it just sprung open, and the fucking, all the parts of the tree, because it comes in like 3 or 4 parts, like you take it down and apart sort of thing, are all over the place. And I just thought, you know what? Fuck, I wish that somehow they would just cancel Christmas this year so I could just leave this in a pile and not,
Jesus Christ,
not sort it out and bring it, okay, bring it down.
Now, I will say, I've been, after the streams and after my stuff, I've been going home and watching Haunting of Hill House on Netflix, right? I've been watching it episode by episode, and it's good. It's really good. It's really spooky, though. And it's really, oh God, there's like, in like every scene, there's like a horrible ghost face or something. It's terrifying, man. I'm not good with horror stuff anyway. But
yeah, I've stopped
I'm
watching
totally
horror stuff. Yeah.
Getting a haunted vibe from your house with the deer carcass on the door, over the door, the dream catchers. You go in.
I've just been playing a lot of Red Dead. So
I swear I put this Christmas tree away, and there's like a horrible ghost face over your shoulder as you like picking up the bits off the floor. Also, what the fuck was this Christmas tree? A Jack in the Box? Come on, Sips.
No, it's like a fake tree, isn't it?
It's a fake tree that comes in parts, and when you put it back in the box, it never fits back in the box the way
that
you bought it.
We had one for years, and then we were like, do you know what? This thing is, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. So we just chucked it and got a real tree. Because I've, you know, it's just nicer, isn't it? The smell of the tree.
Yeah. Do you do the whole Griswold like thing where you go out to the lot with your whole family in the station wagon and
sing it songs to the top of the car and everything? We're going on Saturday, so I actually do the proper dad Christmas tree run. Nice. Always buy a tree that Mrs. F says, "Oh, don't get that one; it's too big." I'm like, "Ha-ha, we're getting the biggest one we can get," you know. And the kids like, "Yay!" Stuff like that. It's just, that's Christmas to me.
Yeah. And then it like barely fits in; it's like bent over and scratches the ceiling.
Exactly. But the decorations. Every year, I like, here's the trick to keeping your Christmas lights in order is you get a cereal box or any piece of cardboard, and you cut so you have one sort of flat piece, like a single pane of cardboard, if you like. And then in the top, in the long edges, you cut a little curve into it. So it's sort of shaped a bit like a big, really fat capital letter I, right?
Right.
And then you wrap the lights around that to keep them in order, because they don't provide any way to tidy the lights in the box. You just shove them in a box. But you'll never get them to stay that way.
I wrap them around my fist. I like to wrap them around my fist and make a ball.
You just keep them there all year?
No, I put them back in the little box that they came in.
Well, let me tell you. Try the cereal box technique, all right? Here's the only problem, though, is when it comes time to take down the lights, obviously you wrap them back. Or hold on, this might do the Triforce podcast alarm. Yeah, I'm doing it.
Ahead of schedule, too. Very efficient.
Lewis is always late, right?
I thought you needed some Christmas music for this podcast. And so that was what it was.
Just played it.
I was like, that's very thoughtful of
it. But here's the thing. Every year, I think, was I too lazy last year to correctly put away the lights? Did I just go like, fuck it, and shove them in a box? Or did I wrap them carefully, planning ahead for future me?
Well, this is exactly the thing, isn't it? It's like Christmas, like summer, is just that little bit far away when it's over. And
yeah,
you think,
we'll worry about it next year.
Do you know what I mean? And you're like, that's future Pyrian's problem. You know, that's not current problem, Pyrian's problem.
Yeah.
Current Pyrian's problem is like, you know, there's like a dog like scratching one of our children to death.
That's right.
And like, you know,
future Pyrian can deal with the bird's nest of Christmas lights.
But did past Pyrian, because I'm future Pyrian, it's coming up. Future Pyrian is now, right? It's like 2 days till future Pyrian has to unwind the Christmas lights. And I'm worried about past Pyrian and whether he actually pulled his fucking finger out and wasn't a cunt about it and just put the fucking lights away properly. So I haven't looked yet. I hope I was good last year. I really do, because it's a pain in the ass.
Because otherwise, you're going to have to lay down on that dirty mattress.
No profits for you this year. Just a deposit. A deposit from Santa.
So what else you got? What else you got in the Christmas planning? Have you bought any presents yet, Sips? You got any like stuff sorted out?
We sort of start buying presents like we accumulate presents like throughout the year. So it's
good
like
thinking.
We don't just do last minute shopping. Like, although some last minute shopping does take place, generally just like a mountain of toys starts to develop in my garage like early on in the year. And then
we sort of forget what's in here, and then we end up playing
play
too much stuff. And then, but yeah, I mean, it's good though. I like the kids obviously love it and stuff. They're like looking forward to it. And both of their birthdays are kind of like right before Christmas too.
Yeah,
so
one of my daughters is in November.
Part of the lead up to Christmas is not only putting up the decorations, but then sorting through all their old toys and giving a bunch of them away to make room for like the new stuff. Because otherwise it's just a fucking mess. Like there's just toys everywhere.
They're so quick to dump their old toys if there is a replacement. And the requirement is, if you want X, you'll have to get rid of Y. They're like, don't fuck Y. Get Y out of it. I don't give a shit about it. I was like, okay, because when we just bought you that last year, you begged for it, and now you're happy to see the back of it. So do you even want X? Oh, yeah, I really want it. Oh, I want it so bad.
I mean, our kids are so small, there's not even any consultation required. It's just like, yeah. You know, they don't
play with this. If it's gone?
I have to consult.
Yeah, every once in a while, like, they'll come out of left field, like, you know, 6 months later and be like, remember that red car I used to have? Yeah, let me just go find that for you.
Yeah. Here, let me distract you for 5 seconds and you'll forget about it. Yeah.
No, Sips has to go into his dad's garage and like sadly pick up that red car that he's really been enjoying playing with for the past 6 months and then bring it back into the house.
It's just like covered in Vaseline and smells like condoms.
It's like laying up in two condoms. Oh, gross.
Yuck. That's gross.
That is gross. Well played.
I went too far. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
So, like, do you do cards? Because when I was a kid, right, our, like, office and study or whatever the spare room would be, we had so many cards that what mum and dad would do is they would, like, put strings up on the wall and hang the cards as if they were Christmas decorations, right? So, because we would get cards from everyone. It was just, like, a kind of thing that was done back then, like, everyone in my dad's office and my mum's office would.
I think that's the key, though. Back then, it was done. Like, I don't think people are nice anymore. So
I hate it. I hate it. I don't. That's Mrs. F's purview. Like, I am not interested in cards. I don't send my friends' birthday cards. I don't send, you know, anybody Christmas cards. It's all Mrs. F because I don't care.
I think in every marriage, there's one nominated card writer, isn't there?
Yeah, like, I think sadly, it's generally speaking, it's the woman in any partnership. Yeah. I think they're the ones that get shit from other women. Like my mum, if she didn't get a Christmas card, she ain't complaining to me. She's complaining to Mrs. F. You know what I mean? Thanks you cards. Fucking thank you cards. Surely giving a gift and the person saying thank you is enough. You need a card. Like, you need a card to say thank you. And I've read a post, where sometimes when I'm feeling really really parenty, I read Mum's Net. Have you ever read Mum's Net?
Oh, good.
Yeah, well, Mum's Net comes up on all the Google searches when you're like, my kid is barfing. And then Mum's Net's like, I had a kid one time who was barfing too. And then there's like 20,000 fucking posts about kids barfing.
Yeah, I mean, I really like it. Result. It's funny. There's a sub-forum called Am I Being Unreasonable, which is my favorite. And it's literally women saying, someone pushed in front of me in a bus queue and I called them an old cow and everyone looked really horrified. Am I being unreasonable to call someone an old cow for pushing in front of me in the bus queue? It's like, don't be so worried about shit. You know what I mean? But I think a lot of the time that's the way people are. They're terrified. Did I do something wrong? Am I being unreasonable? And everybody's going, oh my God, you are not being unreasonable, which is Y-A-M-B-U. So it's Yanbu or Wabu, depending on what you are being unreasonable.
But on Reddit, that's Am I the Asshole?
Right.
So it's like someone says, like, my wife is hanging out with this new guy at work, and so I followed her, and it turned out that they were having sex, so I shot her. Am I the asshole? It's like,
P.S. I'm in jail.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're a lot of them are the asshole. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
but
are an
but
asshole.
People need to, I think, a lot of
people. Some of them
people,
are just very polite people.
Well, some people oftentimes seek out the consultation of other assholes to make them feel better, you know? Because other assholes would be like, yo, I'll fucking kill him. Yeah, I would have done it too. Good for you. But I'm not in jail. You are. But still, I would have done it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I think a lot of the time you feel like something has happened. You think my worldview has been shaken because these other people seem to think this was fine. It's to me, it's clearly not fine. Surely I'm not insane here, and you need someone else to step in that has no stake in the game sometimes. And I think that's one of the good things about the internet is you can ask for feedback and you get 100% honest feedback because people don't know you. Whereas you're asking your friends.
You get a mix of feedback, and you could scroll down to the feedback you want, and you're like, oh, yes, yeah, this guy knows.
You do get a mix of feedback, because I think on the internet, there's a lot of people who are projecting their ideal selves and not actually themselves.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, so, some of us do that. I don't do that. I project one of the worst me's there is.
Me too. God, I'm so self-deprecating and everything. But some people are like, their real lives are terrible for whatever reason, or they're, you know, it's not quite what they expected or whatever. But then they can make up for that on the internet by sort of reinventing themselves.
Yeah.
Sort of thing, you know what I mean?
It's good though.
So it's hard to get legit feedback sometimes from people who are so, you know, broken, I guess.
Jesus.
Broken.
Well,
people.
I mean, yeah.
But there was, anyway, there was one on the Am I Being Unreasonable where it was more of a sort of, holy shit, is this even a thing? Their daughter had received some presents and they'd sent a thank you card and they'd received the thank you card for the thank you card.
Right.
And they're
okay.
Like, am I being unreasonable to think that this is a bridge too far in the thank you game and kind of ridiculous? Because now she's thinking,
well,
so hang on
to
a
that
sec.
Is just to send
does that
a thank
mean
you card
that
to that?
If I get a thank you card from this person, I need to now thank them for the thank you card. Like, where does it end?
And well, exactly. I mean, that is causing an infinite loop right there, isn't it? That's probably, like, that's like trying to divide by zero, P-Flex.
It's ridiculous.
That kind of stuff is dangerous.
It is. You know? Break things.
Those are the kind of things that Reddit posts are made of, though, right?
It's true.
Like, for the past 20 years, I have been responding thank you to a thank you card that was originally sent to me in 1931. And every year since, a thank you card has been sent back off the back of another thank you card in a long exchange of thank yous spanning decades.
I will not be the first to break.
Yeah,
it was originally started by my great-great-grandmother who was thanking her sister then
for making a beautiful Christmas pudding.
Every generation since has taken over the polite courtesy of thanking you in order to keep relations good. I think these days, though, right? Back in the day, social media wasn't a thing. You didn't really sometimes know what some of your family members were doing. I mean, now you can just look at their Facebook or Twitter and it's like, just go down to Greg's and get myself a pasty. Just here's me to me. Do you know what I mean? It's all in your face, right? But now, but back then, you know, it was you open their Christmas card and it was like, dear Lewis, just popped down to Greg's and got myself a pasty. What a lovely Christmas day it is. Hope you're doing well. Included is your $5 gift voucher for Greg's. Jimmy, that was how it was back then. Also, men never need this communication, right? Two men can have a year apart and they still consider each other best buds, you know, and just not say a thing.
Man,
whereas
it's so
if a woman
true.
Hasn't replied to a text in you know, 7 hours, they're like, oh my God, are we still friends? I don't know. Does she still like me? What did they say wrong?
Oh my God, do I look okay in this?
And they were just both just waiting for the other one to reply, you know? That's how it works.
That's kind of how it works, yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, guys are totally different, right?
Jesus. Guys are, women, eh?
We talk about this all the time, but it's so true.
We don't understand them. We never will.
We don't understand them at all. Like, they're so emotional over weird stuff, too. Like, it doesn't make any sense, you know?
Yeah.
I don't
get it.
Being
unreasonable about the, there's this, my husband keeps going up the loft. I keep hearing ho ho hoing from up there and the sound of a
there's
whip.
A lot of clicking as well. I think he's like, he seems to be turning off and on a light switch all the time, possibly LED. I'm not sure. It's really weird.
I hear clanging as he tries to. I think he must be either trying to put the Christmas tree back in the box, or he's beating someone with a pipe.
Man, every time I go up there, though, I'm like, "Fuck! It'd be really nice to have this plate like converted and useful." And then,
like,
I'm always like,
dad garage.
You know, we could put up a partition here, and we could put in like a sunroof, and we could put this.
We could hide the kids up here.
But wait, hang on a second. How the hell is anyone going to get up here? Because it's one of those retractable ladders to get up. And then
when we had our loft done, they rejigged the corridor below it a bit, and you put a staircase in. So it's quite a big job. Like, they have to move some walls. Like, it's not a small job, but you get like a whole nother floor of your house. Like,
yeah.
We had it done. It's changed the house completely. We have so much more space than we did.
I just don't know
and,
who
I mean,
is,
I'm in there right
I
now.
I don't know who I dislike enough to put up there, though. Like, it's not...
Well, it's not a nice.
It's a nice big room, right?
Yeah, but it's the slanted roofs and stuff, you know. Like, yeah, I know. I'll probably end up up there.
Right, but it's slanted roofs, but they flatten one out. So you don't live in a triangle. It's more like a rhombus.
Oh, okay.
Right. So they sort of rhombus. They take one of the sloping bits and they flatten it, and they put a skylight in there. So then you can have either one huge room. You could have your little bathroom up there if you want. I've never gone for that. We had another room put in. So that's my office that I'm in now, and then the bedroom is next door, which is a problem if it's a really intense game of Dota and I'm shouting a lot. The main bedroom, Mrs. F is asleep, is right next door. So it's not ideal. I looked into soundproofing. I contacted multiple soundproofing companies to see if it was possible. They all said no. It's not possible to soundproof your room. I was like, really? They're like, yes. I was like, isn't soundproofing a thing? They were like, yeah, it is, but not what you want it for. I was like, oh.
Need to get like a garage that's not attached to your house, man. That's the best.
Yeah, that's the key.
I can yell out here until I'm blue in the face. Nobody can hear me. It's great.
I mean, God knows what the neighbors must think, because when I'm shouting, they have their loft converted and they're in the next room. So they must hear me screaming at 1 in the morning.
Man, maybe they're big fans. Maybe they're on the stream. They're like, yeah, this is something. Just a bonus. I can actually hear them through the wall. But
that would be something.
We're sitting here cuddled up together in bed watching Flax play whatever, and we can hear them. It's like we're there.
Wow. God, I hope not.
Yeah. It'd be weird, right? Be a little bit weird.
It would be weird.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Fucking, you wake up every morning, go outside, pick up the milk, like... Great stream last night, Flax.
Oh. Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill. How's Margaret doing?
Here's a preview for tonight. That's what you'll hear about midnight. And then this. You'll hear that about 1 in the morning.
So have you guys been playing any video games lately? Do you guys still play video games?
Yeah, I do. Been playing a whole bunch of stuff. So you know the way you guys, or I should say us guys, because we're going to be there next week, are doing the Jingle Jam. So my boy Munticus, shout out to Munticus, who's like the anchor of my stream, if you like. He organizes a lot of stuff. He's like my bro. He set up something called Gamergeddon. Okay, right. Which is just a month of different games, because normally I just play Dota, obviously, and CSGO and stuff. So we've been doing different games every night, and it's been really good. Like, we did Secret Hitler. I've never played Secret Hitler before on the tabletop simulator thing. We did, like, Town of Salem and Solaris and stuff. So it's been a nice break, because you know me, I'm normally like a 1 or 2 game kind of person, and I'll just play that game night after night relentlessly.
I saw you were mixing it up, and that's sounds very healthy.
It's a lot of fun, actually, and... It's interesting, because one thing I'd forgotten about when you're streaming is certain people want to play certain games, but not others. So when you play so-and-so games, suddenly you get other people that you recognize from the stream actually playing, because they're like, oh, I play that. It's like, oh, that's interesting, because I've never played Dota with this guy, but they like to play Town of Salem or whatever. I just thought it was interesting. Like, it opens it up a bit more, because I try to... We've got like a little community thing going on, you know, on the Discord and everything like that. So
yeah.
I think it's nice. It's actually changed my opinion of what game I'm going to stream. I'm going to try and open it up a bit more regularly, because normally I'll play Dota, and then I'll be like, oh shit, XCOM, and play that for like a week solidly, and then just go back to Dota again.
Yeah. I saw you play Battle Brothers on stream.
Oh my God, that fucking game.
It's so hard. Ugh. Why is it so ridiculously ball achingly hard? You get to a point where you just lose a battle and you're like, well, I'm fucked.
Yeah, you're fucked. Like, there is an Iron Man mode. I mean,
XCOM's a little bit like that.
Oh no, dude, this is completely different. Because in XCOM, you've got some control, for one thing. You see the odds of a shot landing, and you're kind of surprised if you miss, like, a whole bunch of shots. And you can plan ahead, and it's turn-based in a way where you can keep range and all the rest of it. Whereas this is like, okay, the enemy goes first. Like, it's not turn, like, your turn, their turn. It's more like, all right, the initiative means that this guy goes first. He has a crossbow. Your guy doesn't have a shield. He shoots your guy's dead. Turn one. You're like, well, what the fuck? Like, what am I meant to do about that? Or there are monsters that are almost unbeatable.
That you've never seen before, either. Yeah, you're not just even like, introduced to them.
These ones
just
scream, like along, and your guys are scared and run away.
It's like a one skull quest. You're like, go and clear out this fucking hut full of skeletons. You're like, no problem. You go there. It's like, oh, it's ghosts. I wonder what they do. Ah, all my guys are dead. What the fuck?
It's so, so
okay,
bad.
I guess that 6-hour playthrough is over. I'll start again.
But that's why you've got to save scum. Like, I save scum the shit out of it. Because some of the fights, like, the terrain will just be bad. You'll start and they'll all be on a hill and you're at the bottom of the hill. Rip. Reload. You can't do it. You cannot get up that hill in time. They'll own you. Or you spawn in and there's like 8 bandits and 4 of them are archers. you're going to lose like 3 or 4 guys.
Exactly, but it's a great, great game. Like, I think if you, I think people who play it a lot really get to know it, right? And they get like they recruit a load of shitty like beggars and stuff and throw them out to their death at the front row. You know,
maybe.
It's like, people play it in a really like different. I'm sure
you've got
there's,
to
like,
min-max the shit out of
ways
it. I also think that it's so grindy that it actually a lot of the game is just grinding. Like it's no, the progression is not like an XCOM where you feel, especially the most recent one. There's like a mission and you get a little bit of technology each time and, you know, you can get items and you level up your guys is kind of exciting. The level ups in this are like your dude leveled up and you can now add 2 to his melee skill, which is 51. So now you have 53. Yeah. You're like, wow,
to the point
what a fucking
where
progression.
It's like such a tiny upgrade that a random statted new guy might already be better.
I mean, it seems to be mainly about the gear you have. Like the heavier your armor, the better your chance of actually making it through the battle and stuff. But it's just, it's super grindy.
It's definitely worth a look, Sips, Battle Brothers. It's nuts. The guy
don't
doesn't
do it, Sips.
Anymore.
Don't do it, okay. Yeah. I won't do it. I've got stuff to play.
But the thing is, there's
anyway,
so few games like it. And I love that style of game. So I play it, and I hate myself for doing it. And I hate the grind. Any game where there's one of the tips on the loading screen is, it's fun to lose. I'm like, fuck you. I know what you've done. I already know what this game is going to be from that one comment. It's going to be, oh, fuck off. My wife, what the fuck? Oh, come on. Like that. And you're going to have to reload. It's fun to lose. It's not fun to lose. Especially, it's fun. It's fine to lose, I think would be the better way
fun.
To put it.
It's fun to lose sometimes if it's not too bullshitty, right? But if it feels really unfair and bullshitty, then it sucks to lose. It's not
I think
fun
any
at all.
Time it's out of your hands.
Yeah.
Like if I lose a game of Dota, I know that we either got outdrafted or outplayed or we fucked up. I like that. I don't mind. But if I lose because some fucking monster just goes rawr and kills my guy in one shot, I'm like, there's nothing I could have done about that.
Yeah.
Like you didn't give me a chance to not die. I just died. It's just, oh, you just got unlucky. It's like, that's not a mechanic in any game. I hate that. I absolutely hate that.
Same. God, I hate that. So guys, we didn't do a podcast last week, so I wasn't able to tell you about The Apprentice. But I watched it last night, and it was just much of the same.
That surprises me.
A couple times I had to close my eyes. I don't understand. This is one thing I'll never understand about that show. In what world would you ever develop a product and brand it and then turn up to a pitch for like a big retail giant, you know, pitching your product to them? And then why would you do like a gimmicky dance or something stupid and awkward like that? Like, who would ever think that that's a good idea? Like, I'm not even very business-minded, but I would never do that. I would go in and I would say, hi, this is what we've made. It's really good. We're happy with the branding, but it can change if you need it to change. And, you know, there you go. Do you want to buy some of these? And I would leave. Like, I wouldn't ham it up or anything. I wouldn't do a dance. Nothing. I'd just be like, hopefully this product just speaks for itself and you guys think that you can sell it. You know what I mean?
Mm. You're talking to business people. It's not an advert.
That's it. Like these people just like, you know, they want to make money. I want to make money. There's no dancing involved in that. Like, but yeah, so anyway, they go to this pitch and they fucking start dancing and stuff. And it was just so fucking painfully awkward. It was nuts. Like these, I don't know what kind of crack they're smoking, and honestly I don't even want any of that kind of crack that they're smoking if it makes you act like that.
You
like
want some Alan Sugar crack, the good shit. I've laid on some crack pipes for
I've laid on some crack for the boys and the girls.
The winners of this week's challenge will get a shitload of crack and some hookers, so go nuts. I've laid on some hookers.
Some laid on, So he laid on a bunch of crack for the contestants this week, it appears, and they had some bad side effects of them performing a dance in front of a sales pitch, which
well,
is...
Well, I think you should try the next series of Lego Masters when that comes out, because...
And you know what? I watched some of that. That's the one where kids make... there's like kids with adults, right?
And sometimes just that two adults.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Like
it
mixes it up. But I loved it. My kids love that show. I love that show. So we watch it together. It's a great show. They just finished this week. I've cried every single episode. Whenever they send the kids home, kids are crying. The host is crying. I'm crying. Because these little kids have had their heart broken. You know, they built this shitty Lego thing and it fell over and they had to get knocked out. It's sad. And it's tragic.
I think it's kind of cruel to subject kids to that, though, at that age.
The young lads were like, yeah, we didn't expect to get this far. We think we did really well. Good luck to the other teams. And they're like 10. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah,
that's the most mature little kid. That is so cool.
Yeah.
Like, the little kids were the ones that could hack it. They were like, yeah, we did great. I had a great time. There's the adults who were like, oh, God. Oh, my God. It's tragic. But, like, there was a father and daughter couple who did really well. And he was, like, really proud of his daughter. I was welling up. I was like, oh. Like, oh, I just love
it. Was
that
it like one of those things where like the daughter's like, hey, dad, maybe we should do this? No. I know exactly what we're going to do. I know exactly the pieces that we need. Go and get some red blocks, you little piece of shit. We're going to do this. We're going to win the whole thing. I feel like that's every adult on that show.
It happened a little bit. Like there was this one, it was an uncle and his nephew. And you could tell the uncle was like, just hand me the blocks. Just hand me the blocks as I asked for them, and you can build like the little accessories or whatever. And he was like building this big head. They had to build a head of Johnny Vegas, like a bust of Johnny Vegas.
So he's just using the kid as like a prop.
The kid was just handing him things to justify himself being
on the show.
It felt a bit like that because his head was garbage. Like it was, but the little, whenever he got the kid involved, the kid was really good and inventive and imaginative, and this guy was just kind of not. So it was like, they kept saying, why can't he see that he needs to involve his nephew more if his build is going to be any good?
Oh, my God. I know. That's so embarrassing. Like, imagine watching back that footage and hearing that criticism of yourself.
Also, it is edited as well. Bear that in mind. It's all edited.
Jesus.
I mean, he seemed like a nice guy, and his nephew was really, you know, he's obviously his cool uncle who has, like, a million Lego blocks in his garage, but it was just... I just kind of felt like, man, get that kid involved front and center because he's really good. Yeah.
Sounding less and less normal.
I think cool is cool is not the term I would use for that uncle.
Enough conversion.
Well, not cool by our standards.
No.
But cool by a kid's standards. I bet he thinks he's his cool uncle. Yeah. He doesn't think, yeah, my uncle's really lame. He's into all the same stuff as I am. And I like
fucking watches anime all day long.
Yeah, I watched a bit of that show. It's pretty good. I liked it.
Recommended.
I mean, I don't actually really like The Apprentice that much, but it's like watching a car crash or a train.
Well, you're watching it the same way I'm watching The Haunting of Hill House, like through your fingers. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's different.
Different kind of horror.
It's a different type of horror, yeah.
It's psychological horror.
I always feel like a bit torn when I watch The Apprentice because I can see what they're doing is wrong, but at the same time, I'm not an expert. You know, like I don't know what I would do in that situation, but all I know is that what they're doing is not right.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I don't know much, but I know what I don't like.
I know what I don't like,
and it's all these contestants, every single one of them. God damn.
Is it just the people? Like, is it just the culture? Is it just like that whole thing? Because we had the BBC come down to do a little interview with us yesterday, right, on the Jingle
Channel. Yeah, I know, I heard, yeah.
Pam came down, and she's lovely, and she came down with her camera lady, who was, I'm not saying old, but I think she said she was 55.
Right.
And she's sort of
That's quite like a scrawny lady
holding this huge camera. And obviously they're a two-man team. You know, they go out and they film local stories and stuff and bring them back, and then the news decides what's actually going to go on the news, right?
Right.
But they were very much like, they knew, they got excited because Bryony from the Great British Bake Off came down onto the Jingle Jam. And I think that was like the lead story. It wasn't necessarily that we were involved. It was that Bryony was doing something. She's a local celebrity.
Right.
And she's helping out with a charity initiative, okay?
Because she was on Bake Off. Is that right?
Because she was a Bake Off runner-up.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And, did she bring down some cakes?
Well, we were on the Bake Off as well, so does that make us celebrities? It was the Jurassic Bake Off.
It was a different one.
Yeah. But it was...
I guess that does make us...
It's still a Bake Off, so...
It was really good, that, actually. That I really enjoyed that summer day with Game Grumps. That was fucking awesome, actually.
It was really hot. Remember how hot it was?
So they came down, they were on the boat. No? They were like, okay. Oh, we're very excited to meet Bryony. I was like, okay, cool, great. She's down in the boat. She's getting ready to go on camera.
So is Bryony the feminine for Brian?
Right. Good question.
You just put like an Oscar.
Should have asked.
Question one. Bryony. Is that the feminine version of the name Brian?
Yeah.
Sure. All right, well, do some
baking. That'll be the answer.
Yeah. Ask her next time for me, okay? And if you're too embarrassed to ask, just say, my friend Flax really wants to know.
Fuck off. No, don't rope me into this.
She's gone now. Oh. I'm not going to be able to ask her. I haven't got a personal phone number.
Get her back.
WhatsApp her.
By the way, Bryony, her Twitter handle is the first result for Bryony on Google. And she, the only Bryony on the internet, according to Google, is...
She's the most famous Bryony.
She is.
Yeah.
I've got a stepsister called Bryony. She's not even on here.
Or wait, is Brianna the feminine for Brian? Because there's always a feminine, like, you know, for like Christopher, it's like Christine or Christina. For Steve, it's Stevie. For like, you know, George, it's Georgina. Like, there's always an equivalent, right? You have to try to find. I'll tell you what, though. What do you think the feminine name for Kevin is? Kevina?
Kevini.
Kevinette?
Kendra?
Kevleen.
Kevin, female name.
These are not real names.
The variant Kevan is anglicized from Kevan, an Irish diminutive form. The feminine version of the name
Kevin.
Is Kiva. Kiva or Queeva.
Queeva.
It can't be Queeva.
Queeva is short for Queen Latifah.
Queeva. I like that. Lewis. Lewis is, of course, Queeva. Louise. What's the feminine for Ted or Theodore? What would it be?
Edwina. Yeah, that's the,
yeah,
the
you see that.
Feminine version.
Edwina, that's got to be for Edward, though, right?
Yeah, but that's what my name is, Edward.
Tedward.
Yeah. Tedward. Theodore. That's the name I've been called before, Tedward. Theodore, when my friends want to mock me for being once upon a time living in America, they call me Theodore.
Theodore. Forsyth.
Theodore! Like that.
Nice.
It's a very American presidential name.
It is a very presidential name. Speaking of presidents, George Bush Sr., did you guys hear? He passed away. He was 95 years old.
Yep, dude did it all.
He did it all.
He was a World War II vet as well. He bombed stuff, didn't he?
Yeah.
In the war. Bombed probably. Japan or whatever.
Yeah.
Something like that. Something important.
He single-handedly bombed Japan.
Yeah.
Just him.
George... Someone needs to drop some bombs on Japan, and I'm thinking you're the young fella for the task. What do you say? Anything to do to help out the war effort, sir? That's a good answer, boy. Now get in your plane and gonna drop those bombs on the Japanese. Drop them all on the Japanese.
On them there Japanese.
Drop them on the Japanese. Make sure you hit the islands, or some of them are living on the islands.
Oh, fuck.
But not that North Sentinel Island. They're on our side.
Those boys
are going to live on forever, thinking that it's the war.
Leave some of them boys raggling around out there to remind the Japanese they lost. That's right. Just remember, George, Japanese, not Sentinelese. Don't get them mixed up, boy. Don't you get them mixed up. Don't you do it.
So guys, I still play Red Dead Redemption every day, Red Dead Redemption 2. And every day, I think I make a lot of progress. And every day, I make like 0.3% progress. Even though I do missions and stuff, I don't know what the fuck is going on. But the game is huge. It's all the collectibles and all the things like
dino bones and stuff like that you've got.
Oh, did you find all those?
No, I found none. I found the lady who said, help me find dino bones. I looked, I found none. But the problem is that...
I found four so far.
I got caught up in a storyline. In the last two or three days, I got caught up in the storyline and just caned it through
right.
and finished the game. So I kind of, I want to go back and play it again, but I don't know whether to wait for the PC version.
I know what you
mean.
It's the old Skyrim, it's the old problem of, if you cane the main storyline, you feel like you don't want to explore the world anymore and you feel like you're done.
I'm doing both at the same time.
Do the side quests too much, you get bored of the game.
I like the, I don't know if you came across these side quests, but the two brothers that are trying to impress the woman.
Yeah.
You have to like shoot bottles off their head and punch them in the balls.
Kick them in the nuts as hard as you can. I love that.
Fuck me, that's funny. Yeah, I like that one.
Rockstar, very good. I mean, the story, I think, is done really well. This very, very adult, very self.
Rewind to Triforce episode a few weeks ago. I don't care about Red Dead. Don't care. Not interested. Don't care.
Yeah, you were all about Fallout 76 back then.
Oh, my macho man Randy Lewis with his fucking I don't cares.
Well, that's right, macho man Randy Savage. Let me tell you something about Red Dead Redemption. I don't care about it. Macho man Lewis Brindley doesn't care about Red Dead Redemption. Yeah, that's right.
And now, look at him come crawling back.
Yeah, now he's on.
I'm kind of glad.
It's my game of the year. I love it. I can't stop playing it.
Let me just talk a little bit about trying to play the online. Me and Ben and Tom and Shin have played the online for about 8 or 9, maybe 10 hours. And obviously, there's not much to do, but also just doing
it's
stuff.
It's really
hard
to make money as well.
We've managed to raise about $70 between us.
It's
and we
hard.
Need 200 to form a posse.
Yeah,
a permanent posse, which is insane. I think they said they're going to make some economic changes, but
I mean, even
day, like,
even just to get a bog standard rifle is like $220, and you need to be rank like whatever, and you don't rank up that quickly. Fishing, you need to be rank 14 to even buy a fishing rod.
Well, this is what I saw on Reddit. It's like the only way to make money in the game is to do fishing, and I'm like, yeah. Fuck that. I mean, there was a lot of chat in the thread about, like, as if it was totally reasonable. Hi, does anyone know anyone who needs a job, maybe in China, that I could pay minimum wage to play the game for me and raise some money? Because, you know, I'm lazy, and I got better things to do with my time. Is there any way we could pay real money to get stuff in the game? People are, like, begging for microtransactions.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Not even joking.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
That's the world we've come to.
On the topic of Macho Man Randy Savage, I can't remember the name of the podcast actually.
Joe Rogan Experience.
Yes, and they had Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yes, it's a really good episode.
Yeah,
it was
awesome.
He talks about Andre the Giant. Did you hear about Andre the Giant?
Yeah.
Holy
he was like
shit.
A chaperone for him, like when before he was like actually pro. He was like doing like refereeing and stuff.
Yeah, but this is before Jake the Snake was pro, not before Andre.
Yeah.
So Andre was a pro at the time, and he had to drive him around, didn't he?
That's right, yeah. And he was telling this story about how Andre the Giant, like, in between shows, Jake the Snake had to drive him to, like, the next show, and it was, like, 80 miles away. And Andre the Giant was like, beer. He's like, oh, okay, I'll get you some beer for the trip, no problem. He's just, like, sitting in the back of this van. So he goes in and buys, like, a case of beer, 24 beers.
No, he buys 2 cases. He thinks he just wants a six-pack.
Yeah,
but he's
yeah.
like, how
so
much
he goes
do you
in,
want?
He buys,
two
he, buys like, he buys like a reasonable amount of beer. And then Andre the Giant's like, 2 cases. So he's like, what, 24 cases? And he's like, 2 cases. So he goes and buys 2 cases of beer. So 48 beers just for Andre the Giant, just for this 80-mile trip. And he doesn't pee once, and he finishes all of the beer.
Yeah, it was insane.
That's insane. It's that the guy was huge, too.
He also said that when he had to take a shit, he had to shit in the bathtub because his ass couldn't fit on a toilet. So he would shit in the tub and then just leave the shower running to sort of dissipate the poop down the drain. I'm thinking, that's one big poop and one smelly bathroom. Like, if you're going into a public toilet and Andre the Giant is coming out, yeah, I'm holding it in. I ain't going in that fucking toilet. Imagine it.
You know,
like,
when people say an absolute unit, I think that
he is the
Andre the
unit.
Giant was the one, right? Like, he's... There's nobody bigger.
Yeah,
maybe
he's,
Jaws
he's
from
huge.
James Bond, but...
No.
He was a big
Andre
guy.
Andre the Giant would eat him for breakfast, homie. Andre the Giant...
I don't know, though. Like, it would take
pounds.
It would be a long breakfast. That guy's pretty big. Not Andre the Giant big, but he's, like, tall and gangly, and he's got the metal teeth and stuff,
that's
too,
true.
Right?
He did have metal teeth.
Yeah, so...
I don't have to miss. That's what Andre the Giant says.
It's really good. I like that. I mean, I only watched that bit. I didn't watch the rest of the podcast, but it was interesting seeing Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah.
You know.
It was really good.
Later on in life, and his stories. He's really good at sort of telling stories and stuff, too. It's interesting.
It is weird
it's
how,
very
like,
funny.
Visually, like, things can affect your, like, impression of someone, even if you sort of know them, right? Because me and Hatfields went out to get, like, we went out and got some facial tattoos, like temporary ones, just stuck on our face when we were doing this shoot the other day. And like, as soon as I turned around to like trot with all these like facial tattoos, I was like, holy shit. And I was suddenly like actually like really scared of him. And like for like if I just met him, I would be like, I would totally be, you know, if Andre the Giant loomed up on you with his fucking big metal teeth, you'd be like,
hey, Andre the Giant
shit.
Had metal teeth.
Well,
it was
sorry,
Jaws,
no, the Jaws
metal
guy.
Teeth.
I mean, yeah, he was like Lurch, wasn't he, as well? Who am I thinking
of? Yeah, he might have been, actually.
He might have been, yeah, that's a good point, actually.
So, Richard Keel was the guy who played the baddie in Moonraker. Dude lived to be 74.
Holy
crap. He was
crap.
7.5 foot tall. Sorry, 7 foot and half and 1.5 inches tall. Guys that tall don't make it to fucking 74.
No,
get
I know,
him.
Yeah. Usually, like, the taller you are, like... how tall is Shaquille O'Neal? He's pretty tall, too.
He is a big guy. Let's look it up.
He's
Shaq.
Still going, I'm pretty sure.
He's alive. Of course he's alive. He's only 46. Shit, Shaq is only 3 years and a bit older than me.
Wow.
He's 4 years
look what
older
he's accomplished.
I know.
He's on
fucking
Space Jam.
A legend.
I know. Fucking unbelievable. The Shaq
15-time NBA All-Star. 15.
Yeah,
oh,
he was incredible, though. I mean, the thing is, like, he didn't even need to jump to get a slam dunk. Like,
yeah.
you just walk up to the
he's,
net.
He's
deposit
half
the ball.
An inch shorter than Jaws from Moonraker. How about that?
Jesus. Yeah, he's a fucking... Shaq is an absolute unit as well.
Yeah, he is. If you ever watch Inside the NBA, I don't know, I don't really even like basketball that much, but I really love that show. That is a funny show. He is very funny on that. Him and Charles Barkley. Very funny.
Those two were always pretty funny. Like, they were always, like, in their prime, they were always on commercials, and they did appearances on, like, Saturday Night Live and
yeah.
stuff. Like, they were always sort of, you know, for sports personalities, they had, like, good crossover and stuff.
I mean, if you think about what fame has done to those guys and money and everything, they're still funny and seem like nice guys.
Yeah.
And if you think about what it did to Dennis Rodman, obviously he's gone the other way and he's insane.
Yeah, well, it happens. It's just, you know, it's the way, it's the ebb and flow of
life.
That life, isn't it? Yeah.
He was like a punchline for every fucking late night guy's jokes. Blah, 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 Dennis Rodman. Ah!
Yeah, like, it's just, you know, it's whatever, like the... All it takes for you is to be like in the limelight for 2 seconds for doing something stupid, and then you'll be the butt of jokes on
yeah.
late night for like a,
blah, blah,
a
blah,
month
blah,
or
Bill Clinton,
or more,
blah, 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 Monica Lewinsky, blah blah blah.
Yeah, yeah, God, yeah, Monica Lewinsky is another one.
That's why I fucking hate that celebrity based humor that a lot of those shows have. It could be any joke, and they just insert celebrity name at the end.
Yeah, of
or
course.
Insert
whatever
name
the
of product.
Whatever, like the go to, you know, let's talk about or roast this celebrity. That's like the butt of the jokes for the time that they're relevant in that capacity or whatever. It's
so
always
tedious.
Been like that.
I bet yeah. you could take the monologue. Here's a project for any listener or viewer.
A challenge.
Challenge
yourselves.
Here. I want you to take the opening monologue from like a Johnny Carson or one of those old school.
Yeah, from like 20 years ago.
And see if you can just replace the names with other celebrities now and see if it's almost the exact same monologue. I'd be interested to see if that would be a thing. See if you can do
same
that.
Same jokes.
Yeah, same yeah, jokes and just drop any other names in there for celebrities that are even halfway relevant, and I bet it's the exact same fucking monologue.
Yeah.
You've just described the Triforce podcast.
And send all your submissions to lewisbrinley@hotmail.co.uk when you're done.
lewisbrinley14@hotmail.co.uk.
Yeah.
Hey, don't dox me.
Hotmail. God.
Holy
shout
shit.
Out to your friends that still use Hotmail, and you think, why? How?
lewisbrinley@blueyonder.co.uk AOL.com
AOL.com
oh, perfect.
Man. Yeah.
Got those CDs hanging in my garden.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to cut this short because I've got a stream. And we're actually going to be back next week live.
Live!
Hopefully
live.
We'll try and get this one put out.
We should have an
early.
Opening monologue. We should do an opening monologue like those TV shows.
Sure.
You cut
let's
out.
Do it.
Everybody
you
applauds.
Can write it.
Okay, I'll try and write one.
Okay. No, get a user to write it, and then we'll just replace names with
yeah,
a
drop
user.
Drop in like
the Yogscast
references and shit like
yeah.
that. And we'll see if we can
addict.
Do that. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
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 All right. Well, thank you. I hope you guys don't have any spooky nightmares about Santa being in your attic. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
About it.
We'll see you soon.
All next
yeah.
time. Goodbye.
See you soon. Bye. Bye. Bye.